Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We're digging deeper into Matthew's Gospel. And today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to verse 37. It reads, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Any preacher delivering a sermon on this passage usually pauses at this point to make the requisite joke about white hair. Depending on their age, it might be at their own expense, or that of some members of the congregation. Perhaps the wiser ones choose themselves as the butt of their jokes. But Jesus is not making a joke here, humorous as this might be. First of all, he summarizes several Old Testament passages about oaths, such as Exodus 20, Leviticus 19, Numbers chapter 30, and Deuteronomy chapter 23. He's not quoting a specific scripture, but amalgamating several. But then, as usual, he takes things a step higher. First, we need to ask ourselves what Jesus is really saying. Is he saying we cannot take an oath in a courtroom? What about the situation between Jesus and the high priest in Matthew 26, verses 63 to 64? The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And how does Jesus answer? "You have said so." Does the fact he answers the question at his trial while sort of under oath indicate that it is permitted to take an oath in this circumstance? The Old Testament does permit the taking of oaths, even in the name of God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. "Fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him, and take your oaths in his name." Paul uses them in a similar way. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "I call God as my witness," there's an oath right there, "and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth." In fact, God himself takes oaths several times in the Old Testament and referred to in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. The Old Testament only banned false or irreverent oaths. Such oaths would denigrate God's name. By the time in which Jesus lived, the Mishnah had distinguished between oaths that were binding and those that were not, in minute detail. Any oath which succeeded in avoiding the name of God was not absolutely binding. But Jesus will have none of this, since it destroys the point of oaths, which is truthfulness. The whole thing becomes a game of working out how to make an oath that one does not have to keep to if one makes it in the right way or wrong way. If this is the case with oaths, from Jesus' point of view, let's do away with them altogether. Jesus relates all the oaths here to God, to make the point that truthfulness is always to do with God. He got very upset about this issue later, if you have a quick look in Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 to 22, in his confrontation with the Pharisees. The church took note of Jesus' perspective in James chapter 5, verse 12. "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven, or by earth, or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." Followers of Jesus Christ claim to have the truth and to follow him who is the truth, John 14, verse 6. Woe to us if we are not men and women of scrupulous truth. Well, we'll go on to look at some more teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5 next time. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful day and God bless.